Wolf, and Luke.
We could create a whole world in the mind of the listener simply by using sound effects.
Ron Wolfley. Luke Lipinski.
Huh.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, a crazy weekend around the NFL. Maybe this is what happens when you basically go chalk in wild card weekend or super wild card weekend or whatever we're calling it. It's great to have those upsets the first weekend, but then the second weekend's always kind of, it's good. I mean, it's the NFL playoffs, but not really many upsets in that first weekend, and that gave way to a pretty much perfect weekend these last 2 days. Joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line right now is Lorenzo Alexander. Zoe, how you doing, man? What stands out to you about the last 48 hours?
Hey, you know, football's a crazy game, right? It's never over until it's over, and you can never count your the game until the clock hits zero. I mean, I had maybe, you know, six or seven people text me after Josh Allen's touchdown to Gabriel Davis, and then those same six or seven people, oh, I'm sorry, bro, I didn't mean to text you so early. I didn't know it was going to turn out like that. So just a crazy game, and, you know, anything can happen at any time.
I thought it was the greatest quarterback game I've ever seen. I know, you know what, I have a tendency to
right.
say, oh,
living
my
in the moment. Yeah, you know, recency bias. And it was a great game. I mean, you have two guys that are, well, obviously Patty Mahomes is already elite. But I think Josh Allen has really solidified his spot in the elite category as well. And you know, one of the things that I kind of thought about after that game, as great as he played, right, the week before that and the week after, he's going to be judged based on something that he really couldn't impact based by the way he could play, right? You know, the kickoff, you can talk about that, and then the defense to allow the team to get back in the Kansas City Chiefs back in the area to play. And that's one of the hard things about playing quarterback. You know, you just judged on wins and losses versus what you actually did in the game to impact it, to give your team a chance to win.
So, Gabriel Davis, I mean, it seems like you always have somebody that's not an unknown, but that's
right.
that's not Stephon Diggs. And you don't always have somebody step up and have eight catches for 201 yards and four touchdowns. That was maybe most impressive.
If you don't follow the Buffalo Bills, or if you're not aware of Gabriel Davis, right, and to your point, he's not an unknown, but he's not a national name. But he was a guy where, you know, my first year out of the league, he came in that next season. So that would be 2020, and I'm watching training camp film, and I'm like, man, I'm hitting guys like, who is 13, man? That dude is out there balling. And so he's a guy that when guys showed up to training camp and played, not only me, but other guys like, man, this dude is a baller. And even Emmanuel Sanders, who the Bills picked up, was like, why did you bring me in here, man? This dude over here is a monster. So guys on the team, guys that have done it at a high level, recognize him, and obviously I think he solidified himself as – a up-and-coming star in this league, because he's been doing that all year. It was just great to see him to do it on that stage. And they'll come back bigger and stronger next year and still have multiple guys that you're going to have to deal with in order to beat them as far as matchups.
So were you a little surprised to see the Bills and Leslie Frazier go into the soft zone as soft as they did
and with the timeouts they had? You know, it's one thing if a team doesn't have timeouts. Yeah, you want to protect the sidelines, be soft, because they're racing against the clock. So it really doesn't even matter if they do get, you know, 10, 20 yards. They got to pass the ball first, run, then clock it and get up there, which takes a lot of time off the clock in itself. And if they had no timeouts, obviously, then that next play, they wouldn't have had a chance to call timeout and kick the field goal. Also on that squib, I know you said, I think Hartman was back there. I don't think it was Tyreek Hill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was
Tyreek
Hill.
And even if the cheetah was back there from, and you know this, Wolf, from a player's perspective, I'm like, I don't care. The cheetah is nice, but we better collectively, right? And for me, you know, the squib kick, and I'm not judging or saying they should have done it, because in the moment you're doing whatever you think is best. But a squib kick, unlike a punt, it really messes up the blocking timing for the front line in order to set up your blocks, in order to allow a guy, even like a Devin Hester or a Cheetah, to really hit a home run.
See, you know, the only thing I would say, though, Zoe, is a lot of times you've got your special teams players out on the field when you're doing that, obviously.
And yeah.
To me, I'd rather have your best players out
no.
on the field.
No, your best. See, I think that's a misconception. I'm on special teams because I'm one of the best. And I guess I have a different mindset, right? Because I don't think your best linebacker in the league, let's say Darius Leonard, is not a better version of and I'm gonna sound a little egotistical here, but it's not a better version of Lorenzo Alexander Pro Bowl or a Wolfley Pro Bowl to go down there and cover a kick, because he doesn't know. He doesn't have any experience playing in that type of space or the blocks that he's going to see and how to get a guy down like that. So I want my guys that have been out there.
Yeah, I think I would just disagree right there. Listen, kick the ball off. You've got the number one pass defense in the National Football League.
We're talking – yeah. I got that.
Yeah.
But you're going against the clock. So let's say they even do – and when you power squib it, it's not like he's going to catch it in rhythm, in room. That's a ball that's on the ground bouncing. He has to pick it up. Maybe they just take a knee. At least you're going to get a couple of seconds off, but he's not in rhythm. And as great as he is, it's really hard to shake,
man,
10 guys without having blocking relativity. I mean, and that's a big thing. The reason why, like, Devin Hester took that first kickoff to the house back in the day is because there was a regular kickoff. His guys were able to block versus a ball that's bouncing up into the ground. It's hard to stay on your block as it is on kickoff return. So that's why I think it would have been a better call in hindsight to let that ball, and he wasn't even out there. It was Hardman, and he's a good returner too, but he's not a Tyreek Hill.
No,
I totally
agree with that.
So
totally agree with that.
That is at least two to three seconds.
So we're
there.
Arguing a point.
Yes.
Which it never happened. Right. I thought it was Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
that was
and then
out
also,
there. That's
I think
my
to
bad.
your point on defense, we have a soft, I don't think it's like a cover four or like a purple. I forgot what we exactly called it. But we used to also have where we had a joker, which I think this would have been a better – because you don't really care if Pat Mahomes stands in the pocket and has forever to throw because he's racing against the time too. Where we would only rush three and have the joker come out and either jam like Kelce or Tyreek Hill based on where those guys lined up, who was number three closest, you know, biggest threat to maybe get some over the middle. And you add another pretty much body out there as far as throwing the timing off with the jam, and then also another body that you have to kind of avoid in that zone, and another guy that can run and
so
possibly get a guy
we
down.
We would have
as
called
well.
That robber. Is that what you're saying? A joker?
Yeah, I mean, it's a form of robber. It's okay. When I played, it was my role to do that because I could also rush depending on what the situation it is. In that situation, okay. I'd have been an extra linebacker kind of roaming in the zone,
okay.
looking
in
at the quarterback's
zone.
Eyes,
okay.
and being an
robber's
extra guy to a tackle.
Yeah, robber's man.
So we've talked about Josh Allen, obviously, in the past, but how much, or I guess the better way to ask it is, where have you seen him grow the most since you played with him to where he is last night?
His just command of the offense in the moment. I think when you rewind and look at the Houston game, my last game that I ever played, the moment, not that it was too big, but he didn't make the best decisions in the big moment. I think now he's able, the game is slowed down enough that now the moment really doesn't impact him. He's able to make wise or the best decision quickly and operate at a high level. And, you know, that's why you see him be able to score. I don't know how many points they scored in the last, 4 or 5 minutes of the game, but able to just continue to answer. And then he has weapons out there too. I think that's another big thing that Brandon Bean is upgraded. You know, you got Stephon Diggs. They find a Gabriel Davis. They got Emmanuel Sanders, right? They got Cole Beasley. They got McKenzie. And I think Dable has done a great job, and that run game has come alive when it needed to. And so everything was operating at a high level, and Josh Allen was able to lead that team and really be extremely efficient offensively, which is really cool to see.
So let me ask you this. We barely scraped the surface. Do you got 10 minutes to hang on? Can you come back?
I got 10 minutes.
Okay, cool, man. That'd be awesome. We'd love to have you talk about the Cardinals a little bit, the next beautiful part of the program.
All right.
Sounds good.
Zoe's sticking around. The golf tournament hailed as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off February 7th, runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now for your chance to win tickets. Plus, one lucky winner will win greenskeeper passes. Coming up, the next generation of great quarterbacks was on display over the weekend. Is Kyler Murray falling behind now? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, we're live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. We talked Zoe to stick around for one more segment here because that's how good of a weekend it was around the NFL. And so I'll just pick up kind of where we left off, talking about Josh Allen. Last night was his sixth playoff game already, 14 touchdowns to just one interception. Now,
wow.
you were on the team for his first one, certainly. just to bring it back to the Cardinals for a second, we're all trying not to overreact to one game by Kyler Murray, but right. it does feel like watching Josh Allen just get all this experience, and Joe Burrow especially, it sort of feels like Kyler Murray's kind of fallen behind right now with the other great young quarterbacks, or potentially great young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, and then it goes back to, you know, what have you done for me lately? And that's what the NFL and, I mean, life in so many ways is all about. You know, they don't care what you did for them early in the season, how great you were once upon a time. They want to know what you're going to do when it's crunch time and late in the year. And, you know, obviously this is a team sport, and it's not just Kyler. But obviously his performance wasn't great either in those games. And so whatever that is, whatever's causing him to fall off later in the year, and, you know, obviously you guys have talked about that ad nauseum, the different reasons, but he has to really look himself in the mirror and figure out what that is for himself and be humble enough to ask for help in order to develop, you know, especially like when you talk about watching film and developing a football IQ. Yeah, everybody, you know, you have some natural ability, innate ability to see the game, and the game comes easy to you. But at some point, it comes easy to a lot of guys because they're all elite. And you have to find little incremental differences that's going to allow you to continue to rise even when your competition or the moment increases as well. And so at this point, that's kind of where they're at. You know, obviously we look at Cliff, we look at Kyler in that same regard. At the end of the year, how can you continue to rise and get better and playing your best football at the end of the season, right? Because we always talk about November and December in the NFL. That's where you make your money. That's where you make your mark, because you start peaking and getting hot at the right time to really make a real run. Nobody remembers what you did in September and October. Honestly, I mean, they don't. Because this is where, you know, champions are born, is November, December, and going into the playoffs.
If there was one characteristic you'd like to see Kyler Murray adopt from some of these other young quarterbacks, is there something out there that you would say? Is there some attribute
Man,
you would talk about?
I think it's probably a couple of things. I think, you know, obviously, you know, the film thing is huge, if that's true. You know, not having a
preparation.
Solid preparation. Because quarterbacks have to know so much, see so much, you know, because everybody's trying to impact them. And so they have to have a strong understanding of the game and be able to adapt and watch it. It's not something that you can just decide to do all of a sudden. You have to build that preparation, because if you just, like, for example, that last week, if that was his first time watching, let's say he watches, you know, maybe a game a week normally, but then last week he watched three or four games, he just had too much information to process even for him. Right, because he changed his pattern. And so he has to get with somebody in the offseason, whoever that may be, whether it's a guy like a Jordan Palmer, somebody back in Texas, wherever he spends his offseason. Colt McCoy, right. Whoever that is who's going to show him methodically, because obviously he doesn't know how to do it himself, this is what you do, and then this is how you can grow from here. But he has to have a foundation in order to start with and then add on to it, you know, throughout the year or throughout his career. But you can't go from 0 to 60 all of a sudden in that regard. And then I would say number two is how he's perceived when things aren't going right. Is he perceived in body language, as we talk about, is it pouting, or, you know, or is it, yeah, okay, I'm upset, I'm disappointed, but hey, here we go, fellas, let's go. You know, and I think that will help, like, on the field in the moment type of things, where the guys around him will say, hey, here we go, versus, oh no, here we go again, right? And that's two different ways of saying the same thing. And I think that's key.
Dealing with adversity, in other words.
In the moment. Because it impacts. Everybody looks at, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Kyler Murray, you know, all the quarterbacks. If you look over and your guy is sitting by himself and things are going, hitting the fan, and he hasn't done that all game until it starts going bad, you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Or pouting or throwing help, whatever it may be. And I get – and I'm not jumping on, because I know everybody reacts their own certain way, but it's the way it comes across and the way it looks, and we've seen it before. And he has to be just real and at least be aware of it.
Yep.
And see, is this really impacting my guys? So it's something that he needs to look into to see if he can correct that and help him and his team be better for it, if he can change some of those little things that really make a big difference as far as other guys and his preparation.
I'm talking to Lorenzo Alexander and Zoe. Obviously, everybody is different. So, I mean, you can only make such a generalization here. But in terms of what Kyler Murray had happen a week ago today, you know, as a teammate, would you be concerned that that carries over the next time he's out there and he's got to fight through that extra layer of whatever it is, nervousness or another obstacle, because that first playoff game was so bad the next time he takes the field in the playoffs? Or can that go away?
Yeah, I mean, it's so much time removed. It'd be different if, you know, it was like single or double elimination. He had to go right back out there next week. I think it's because it's so much time. You have time to get over it. That's his first opportunity. You can kind of toss it to the side. Okay, this is my first experience with it. This won't happen again. Versus a guy like Stafford, where we saw maybe a little bit of a trend, where then that you may worry about it. But ultimately, I want to see how did it impact him from a preparation standpoint. Does he change? Does he do some more work in the offseason? I'm not talking about, you know, this week he needs to be back in the film room grinding, because there's some time you need to get away from the game. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, mid to late February, you know, is he starting to, you know, maybe get with a guy, hey, let's watch some film and let me kind of review the progression of my season so I can identify a plan that I can do to work on and maybe start working on how do I break down film? How are people attacking me? And let's go through that methodically and start building some muscle memory and some football IQ as far as how people are going to continue to attack me, and some things that I may be doing to myself that I need to redirect. And so he needs to get with, you know, some form of coach. You know, obviously in the offseason, NFL has certain rules where you can't get with your position coach. So that's why I always say find some outside source. But you need somebody to go through it with you. You can't – the blind can't lead the blind, right? And so if you have no foundation or substance, you can't say, well, I'm going to do it myself and I'm just going to watch film, because you've never done it and haven't shown to do it this far. You need outside help. But that takes a little bit of humility to allow somebody to talk to you and speak to you in a way that may feel uncomfortable, because you've been considered the greatest thing ever, you know, especially out of Texas college and in the field being a MVP. So he has to have some humility through this process.
I would say accountability as well. Other than what you saw in the Bills Chiefs game, what was the one game you loved other than that one?
What else did I really love? You know, I was in
49ers, Green Bay.
I was in and out, man. You know, I was coaching flag football, Lambeau, basketball. Everybody's been asking me. You know, I was more nervous about my 7-8 U basketball last night. I'm on the sideline coaching these guys up, getting them ready. That's the other game that really got me excited, even more so than that Bills game last night. But, you know, I love the 49ers. Obviously, I grew up a Niners fan, being from the Bay Area. The Raiders were in L.A., so people always say, well, not a Raiders? No, I was a Niners fan. And so I always liked that physicality. Obviously, knowing Kyle a little bit from when I was in Washington, and Trent and some other guys on that team that I've played with or played against. So just seeing that physical nature, where it's more old-school football. It's not about the QB. It's about man on a man. I'm going to knock you out and really dominate a game. And they made it ugly and was able to figure out to win it. And that's why only way I thought they was going to be able to beat Green Bay, make an ugly game, special teams, defense, right, running the ball, real physical. And that was really cool to see.
So the Rams game, they ended up beating Tampa twice this year. They held Brady to just one touchdown in each game. He looked frustrated yesterday. Just in general, that sort of defense, and obviously it's loaded with Aaron Donald and Von Miller, but, I mean, why is a defense like that? It seems like that's the best way to beat Brady, is to have a defense like that.
Well, the best way to beat Brady is to have a great defensive line. Anytime he's ever struggled, whether you go back to the Giants when they were down significantly versus the Falcons, right? Grady Jarrett, I think, had three sacks in the first half. Philly, right? When you think about that defensive line, think about the defensive line of the Rams. Anytime you can impact them, especially when you talk about interior, Grady Jarrett, Darnold, and I can't think of the guy's name from Philly that's a monster too, but plays in the middle. Anytime you get,
huh? Was it Trent Cole?
Not Trent Cole. He's an outside guy. I'm hating
myself. No, this is gonna bother me.
He's another dominant D tackle though, interior lineman. Anytime you can impact him, and make him come off the spot where he can't step up and be an athlete within the pocket, it always has caused Brady to have probably some of his worser performances.
Hey, Zoe, man, thank you so much for hanging around that extra time. We really appreciate it,
anything for
buddy.
You, Wolf. And like I said, I don't know if you got my text, man, but you're the most humble man I know. I have a lot of respect for you, so anything you ever ask, I'm going to definitely do.
Oh, dude, thank you, man. Appreciate you, Zoe.
Zoe, we appreciate
it,
man.
Okay, bro. Take
care.
God bless.